Now, can you hear me okay, Kelly?
Yes, I can.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Good.
You're a little echoey, but I can hear you.
Okay.
Echoey? Okay.
Well, yeah, it's like you're in a, you know, a closet or a box or something.
Well, I am.
Yeah.
This is the way I work best, in an old refrigerator box.
Yep.
Okay, we've
when
got...
When someone's mad at you, they just turn it down, right?
What's that?
Never mind. I'm getting a little nervous here. So.
Don't be nervous. We're just recording everything, but it'll never make the airwaves. I mean, we can slip a copy to you if you like.
No, she said, you know, she told me before she agreed to go on speakerphone that she would do this only if she never had to listen to herself.
Okay, okay. Agreed.
But Ken, I must say, I know I talked to you once on the phone.
Yes.
But in this atmosphere, with you in the little box, you sound like a professional radio dude. You've well, got the voice, man.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate that.
I guess you're in the right business.
I guess so. I look at my bank balance, I say I'm in the wrong business, but...
Yeah.
Talk is
so listen, do I sound like a numbers lady to you?
Do you what?
She asked if she sounds like a numbers lady to you.
A numbers lady, you mean because of your what you do?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't want to say the word tax, so I chose to go with mathematics.
Okay, you were being tactful.
Yes, I was.
Hardy har har.
Numbers lady.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. No, numbers, only if I can figure you out will I consider you to be a numbers lady.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we're going nowhere with these puns.
I know we're losing time here, but I'm sure you and I must have met at some point, either through passing, at Barenda Mesa Farms.
You were there, too?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Did I know that, Kim?
I don't know if you knew that or
think,
not.
I don't think anybody ever told me that. Kim has this rich history of stuff that she doesn't tell me.
I don't tell anyone.
Bribery.
So, you worked there the same time as Tony did?
Yes, I did.
Where were you?
Actually, I was mostly in quality control.
Which?
So I was in the lab doing all the testing on all the worm-infested nuts.
That sounds like some people I know. Wow. And you heard that basically I was wherever they put me initially watching almonds fall into the big bins, and then they moved me down into the candy-making operation.
No, I didn't.
I was down there, yeah. Down there helping make candy and cooking and spreading the stuff out and... What was that, 1978, I guess?
Yeah, let's see. For me, it would have been actually 79.
Okay, wow.
I think it was 79. And I actually, because I was in quality control, I went everywhere. You know, I'd go sample everything from the candy area and all the pistachio shoot lines, the almond, the flavoring, the, you know, I did it all. And
wow.
In cold storage to boot.
Wow, wow. So yeah. I was under a guy named Bob down in the candy-making operation.
Mm. You know, Ken, I can barely remember Tony, and I went to school with him.
What? What do you mean you can barely remember Tony?
Well, at Barenda Mesa Farms. I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of folks there. I do remember Sharon Lyon, L-Y-O-N. She was my supervisor in the quality lab.
You know what I remember, well, apart from the people that I worked with in the kitchen and the smell of the butter and the candy, people go, wow, it must be so wonderful working down there. And I go, no, you really get sick of the smell after a while. But
I'll just add, see, our whole topic here, Kimmy, could have been nuts.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're nuts.
Yeah.
Because we all are somehow affiliated with nuts.
Yeah.
Way back when.
Some of us are married to nuts.
Exactly. We're friends with nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But, you know, the most ironic part, Ken, was here I worked in the lab. I could, all the samples, I could have taken anything home, including the macadamias and,
ooh,
you know, cashews and all these things that people like. And as Kimmy and Tony so well know, I don't like nuts.
Wow.
So it was the perfect job for me, but I would just take things home to my friends.
Wow.
You know.
You don't like
nuts. They all really like that.
You don't like nuts. Does that really offend Tony, since that's what he works in?
You know, you have to have compassion and, you know, let some people in. It's called diversity, Ken. Diversity.
Or is it tolerance? With Tony, I think it's called tolerance.
Well, and what I always tell people is I really don't care for nuts because I'm nutty enough.
But
I don't need more, so there you go.
Yeah, she's pretty punny, too.
I understand. One of the things...
All right, so what topic are we going with?
Well, I don't know.
How about interviewing a childhood friend?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Shall I call my friend Inarosi then, who was my childhood friend? Oh, you mean you two.
We could have a foursome. That'd be great.
Yeah, I should go get Glenn. We've known each other since 1962.
62? How old are you?
I'll be 59 in January.
Oh, that's not old. That's young.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're young.
Thank you. And how old are you, Kelly?
I am the same age as your dear friend Kimmy and your dear friend Tony.
Okay.
I am
29.
I am shocked that was your response, Kelly.
I am not going there, Kimmy. We have to keep some things, you know, between us.
So we're the magic relationship that is Kelly and Kimmy. Where did it begin? What was the year? What were the circumstances? Kelly or Kim, you can, either one can tackle that one.
I don't remember the first time I met Kelly. I don't remember. Do you?
No, I don't remember, but it either had something to do with, I would assume with brownies.
Oh.
Brownies.
Yep.
I think brownies before Girl Scouts.
Yep.
And I believe, and I do remember our other friend, I remember playing basketball in a driveway with Serena. I think it was Mrs. Colombini's, but yeah, I'm sure when we were brownies or when we were in first grade, one of the two.
Who was your first grade teacher?
Mrs. Pike.
Okay. That was Brian's first grade teacher. No, Serena and I were in Mrs. Kinney's class.
Okay, I remember.
Yeah.
What school did you go to at the time?
Raymond Temple Elementary School.
Who?
Raymond Temple.
Who was Raymond Temple?
I have no idea, and I didn't really care either.
All these years later, when you have access to instant information on the internet and you haven't found out who Raymond Temple is?
Have you, Kelly?
No, but does it count if we went back about 25 years later and had our picture with our yaw-yaw hat in front of Raymond Temple?
You know, I don't think I have a copy of that picture.
I don't either.
All right.
Yeah, you do. You have it. Nuh-uh. I do not hold photographs hostage. You could just stop with that right there.
Is that a negative statement?
Yes.
Negative? Photographs? Hostage?
No.
Kelly, this is funny. Yeah, you got to know when you're supposed to laugh. Okay, now I'm in the dark. Not only do I not know who Raymond Temple is like you two, but I don't know what a yaw-yaw hat is.
Oh.
You go for that one.
Do you remember that movie, The Divine Secrets of the Yaw-Yaw Sisterhood? Not like you would have ever seen it.
Well, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Well, we saw it. The three of us went and saw it together because it reminded us of us. Because the movie starts out with these, isn't there four of them, Kelly? Four little girls.
Yes.
Like elementary age girls, and they have this secret club, the Yaya Club, and they you know, slit their hand and put their hands together, you know, and share blood so that they're all, you know, have the divine secrets of the Yaya sisterhood.
Did you girls do that, like draw blood to seal your friendship?
I didn't. I think you and Serena did, though, didn't you, Kelly?
I did what? Yes, we did.
I thought so. I don't remember doing that. Did I do that?
Yes, it was one of Serena's crazy ideas.
Of course.
There's always one in every group, and she was ours.
She was the one.
How ironic that the friend that is part Cherokee Indian did not do the blood initiation.
No, I didn't do that.
She was too busy being the Grand Poobah in Rainbow.
Oh,
I've heard about that. She was obviously part of that whole thing. What was your thing? Were you raised in any kind of a religious household, Kelly?
Not unless you consider cuss words a religion. I heard them all the time. I heard God's name all the time.
Is that like swearing oaths or I don't know?
Pardon me?
No, nothing. So when you'd hear about Kim's experiences as the grand poobah of the Rainbow Girls, did you not understand what the heck all that was about?
No, I actually think I did understand some of it, not all of it, because, you know, I would talk to Kimmy during, you know, our school years and ask her because it was such a huge part of her life. So her interest was in the Rainbow Girls, whereas Serena and I were more involved with school activities.
Okay.
And so we kind of understood. We went to some of her events, and I have proof with her in hoop skirts. But the ironic thing, you know, I don't want to get serious here.
No, please,
but the
please.
Ironic thing, no seriousness. Is, to me, and Kimmy, I don't know if I ever totally shared this with you, but Kim was always the one who was the good one. She was the good friend. She never dabbled or tried things she shouldn't, whereas Serena and I ventured out and eventually all got in trouble and did things we shouldn't have. And yet, I was the first to come to Christ. And when I did so, it was a little unusual for me because even though I knew we are saved by faith and you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I don't know that I ever knew if Kim did or did not, but I knew that Rainbow was based somehow with the Bible because Kimmy had a Bible and they would read, you know, scripture occasionally, and it was a big part of the events and the programs that they had. And so my emphasis as far as wanting to go out, when you first, you know Jesus, I think it's a natural instinct to want to go tell the world and preach and just save everybody you love. I think that's a very natural instinct because you suddenly have an understanding and you want to share that. Well, Kimmy was the best person I knew. And so I don't think I did understand the relationship. I thought she was already somehow maybe knowing God because of the religious affiliation with the Rainbow Program.
Wow.
So that was very interesting to me. And, of course, I guess just watching how things unfolded, I look back now and I think, wow, I think Kim was the only one raised with any kind of a knowledge of the Bible versus Serena or I.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't take that for granted.
Did you ever have any witnessing opportunities with Kim before she became a Christian?
Oh, I would say yes. I'm sure we talked on the phone, and yes, absolutely yes. She knew about the transformation and change in my life, and in fact called me one day. I decided to move up to the Fresno area, and I believe I was 19, wasn't I?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Well, Fresno. I think it was when you got saved.
No, Kelly. Jeez. 20? You're so old. You don't remember this? Kelly, you...
Yeah, tell me. What I remember is Kimmy calling me in my apartment and saying, I want what you have. Can I go to church with you?
Yes, but you lived in Fullerton.
Yes, actually, you're Belinda.
Okay, I thought it was in Fullerton, right there off of Nutwood, in the same complex Tony lived in.
Yep, sure did.
Yeah. See, you said Fresno. You said you lived in Fresno.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. What I meant is I moved to Fresno.
Yeah, I know.
Before I moved here.
Right. It was like 2 weeks before you moved up here.
Right. So Ken's question was, did I ever witness to you? And my memory is, well, yes, but not in a bold way, but you were able to observe.
I disagree. You were pretty bold. You were pretty bold. I remember going to your apartment that you had in that same complex where Tony lived. I went there a couple times, in fact, because you wanted to talk to me about Jesus, and you got your Bible out, and you were showing me scriptures in there and stuff, and I just remember you kept saying, I know you're really good, and you probably don't think you really need Jesus, but you really do. And I really didn't even know who Jesus was or what he did or if he was even real. So, yeah, you witnessed to me. It was for, because you got saved like in January, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Of 1981.
Yep.
So you were 19 years old.
Yep, that sounds right.
Yep, and wow. I met Jesus in September of 1981, so I was 20.
Would you say, Kim, that Kelly played a large part in you coming
Absolutely.
To Christ?
Absolutely. She, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Almost single-handedly watching her life. You know, because honestly, any other people I ever knew that were believers, I just gave them a very hard time and made fun of them and mocked them. And yeah, that's kind of who I was.
That's so, who I was, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So watching her transformation was huge.
Yay, Kelly.
Yeah.
Well, that's all God. He just knows how to use us, but I'm very thankful. And you know, the other thing, Ken, is this is another pivotal turning point, I suppose. I'd known Tony in high school and then discovered that him and I both worked at Barrena Mesa Farms, and he was working in the store, actually.
Along with me.
And I'm in my lab white coat thing, you know, all the time. Do I need to mention the hairnet right now? No. Okay.
I think you just did.
Okay. But of course, now Tony and I are living in the same apartment complex, and he, you know, he's such a great friend. He was always a great friend. And I remember after I accepted the Lord, which is a whole other radio show by itself, because I tried everything I could not to.
Ooh, yeah. We do want to hear that one on a future edition.
Yeah, future edition. But after I did so, I went into the store, and Tony was at the counter there, and I was so excited, and I told him, Tony, you know, I just accepted Jesus a few days ago, and I'm a Christian. And Tony said, oh, my gosh, Kelly, that's so great. I am, too. And I said, you are? And Tony later told me that was a good point for him, because it made him kind of reexamine things a little.
Wow.
You know? And the rest is history.
Wow. Now, are you, Kelly, are you the one who introduced these two?
Yes, I am.
Tell me how.
And the reasoning for that, Ken, was very simple. I wanted my friend Kimmy to know Jesus. Tony already did know Jesus, and I was moving out of the area. So I thought, Kim wants to go to church. I have this one opportunity. And I was attending Melody Land in Anaheim at the time, and Tony was as well.
Wow.
And so I called Tony as soon as Kim wanted to go and thought, how can we get Kim to accept the Lord? Well, we have to put her in the front seat of the car with Tony.
Wow.
That'll do it. I mean, his driving, bless his heart, would scare anyone to Christ. I must tell you.
That so fear of imminent death, huh?
Strategic thinking.
Wow. Oh, Melody Land is where my wife went to church. That's where she got saved back in the 70s.
Wow.
Yeah. And I saw the Dave Clark Five there in 1965 when it was a theater.
See, now you're aging yourself again, Ken.
Hey, I got 10 years on you kids, you know?
I know.
Wow. What a great story.
It is a great story.
Wow. Not only was she pivotal in helping you come to Christ, but also introducing you to your husband, the father of your three children.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's one of the most significant people in my life and has been for 40-plus years.
Wow.
On all kinds of levels.
I suppose if you want to kind of fast forward, Ken, and come to the conclusion, if you will, there's been three of us as childhood friends, and that was Serena as well. And we all think it's a very unique bond because I think everybody knows three women don't mix. It's usually not a good mix. Wow. There's always jealousy and et cetera. And we have been able to separate and maintain and be so supportive of one another throughout our entire lives as we've dealt with, you know, tragedy, parent deaths. You know, we've started going through all these transitions and realizing, wow. And yet, as far as it goes for me, I'm the one who won in the end because I don't have any, I'm adopted and I really don't have too much of a family per se that I was introduced to, and I'm an only child. And so in my opinion, God's grace and his love is what brought us all together.
Wow.
Because they are my sisters, and Tony is my brother. And in more ways than in Christ, they really do serve as the sisters I would never have had growing up, because we've known each other that long and been through so much.
Wow.
And Tony has been the big brother equally as well. And so, you know, Kim and Tony coming together was just a godsend for all of us, I think.
Wow.
And it kind of completes the circle, in essence.
Wow. What a great testimony to hear in this day and age where people come and people go, when people use you and people move on, and, you know, all these years later.
It's a big deal, and I'd argue that you're the one that won. I don't think you won. I think I won.
Well, let's not get Serena in this, because she would argue more than we do.
Well, yeah, and we'd just tell her she won and she's the queen, and we'll all bow down.
Move on, even though we know the truth.
That's right.
I'll have to remember that for when you get Serena on the phone, Kim.
She called in, actually, while we've been talking.
Oh,
yeah,
was
you
that
heard
her?
The phone beep. Uh-huh.
That was her beeping, okay.
She called, and so did Silva. They were the three I sent the message to.
Oh, okay.
To.
We could have had everybody involved then.
I don't know how to do that on my phone,
well,
though,
I can,
you know?
I can do it on my phone. Remember we did a conference call with you and
Liana
and Rhoda and everybody? Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Well.
That should be the first way to go.
I think
get
so.
Get Serena and Kelly both
I
on the phone.
I think so. Just let you guys, just like you and Anita Renfro, I'll just get out of the way and let you guys go.
Yeah. Well, that would be good.
Okay. I do have a question then. And I know this is not part of maybe what you guys are trying to do today and get the experience of, but I guess my question would be, well, of course, Serena and I and Kimmy together, we probably need to almost practice a little, but I do believe emotion and our intense respect and love for each other would certainly come through and play into it, because truly we have a lifetime not only of friendship, but of grace, forgiveness, passion, love, acceptance, and change. We have all changed as people. And it's just really been an incredible journey. So I think that would be a great first show, or however you guys want to do that.
Mm.
But one of my questions would be, with three people, how do you moderate that? And, you know, is there a way, like if I'm doing the telephone interview from here, from my home, and let's say Serena's doing it from her home and Kimmy's in the studio, is there a way so we know who's going to talk next, or, you know, to prevent some of the everyone talking at the same time thing?
There's really no specific way knowing of who's going to talk next, but you've already caught a little bit of it. I kind of act as the traffic cop, and so I would probably say, well, okay, Serena, we've heard Kelly's perspective on that. What do you remember from the first grade?
Mm.
And so kind of giving equal opportunity. Yeah, I'm standing, the light is out at the intersection, and I'm the cop saying, okay, direct traffic this way, direct traffic that way. So I would.
And Ken, that's what I was alluding to, because I think you've added a great value, you know, to us even talking like this. And I do believe that a first or second or third show or whatever, if this were, you know, to happen, hearing Kimmy talk as a regular, normal person, which she is, believe it or not.
Are you sure?
Oh, jeez.
We've got a series lined up here, don't we, Kelly?
Pedestals.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to cover that many years. But what I was going to say is I really have enjoyed, and I'm paying attention to that. And so you being the moderator and the facilitator, I think has really helped. And so I'm curious what you two have discussed about the format for the show. Would you be involved, Ken, or would Kimmy be learning how to be the facilitator as well as the host?
Kimmy?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't. I mean, that's part of what we're doing here today, is for me to try to even figure out what all this is.
The way it was presented to me, Kelly, I don't want to assume anything. I mean, I can blab until the cows come home, because that's what I do. But
I'm laughing, by the way.
And you didn't even see the sign go on, right?
No, any better.
I can talk to my heart's content, but that wasn't the point. But what you, Kim, had said before, and even Tony flat out asked me if I would be Kim's co-host. You don't remember that, Kim?
Yeah, I do. I remember. I remember Tony telling me that from the conversation the two of you had, unbeknownst to me.
Okay.
That breakfast that you and Tony had big conversation.
Then what do you foresee then, Kim? Do you see working with me in a team relationship, or are you just soloing?
I don't think I could solo because I don't know what I'm doing. It would have to be a team
all right.
thing.
Well, there's the answer to the question then, right, Kelly?
Yes, and wouldn't it be dynamic if, depending how you, advertise the show as a, women's topics or whatever it is, the platform that you guys choose to go with, wouldn't it be really great if occasionally you kept your listeners really in tune by switching the rules? I mean, Kim, people would get to know both you and Kimmy as the host of the show. And you, of course, have the radio voice. And in my opinion, per this call, I've been paying attention somehow. So does Kimmy. I mean, she has a good woman's voice to project. And Kimmy, you've come across to me today. I've listened to a couple of your SALT podcasts. Is that what they're called?
My dashes.
Yeah, podcasts.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. See, I've got work on the brain. We call them podcasts.
Yeah.
But, I've listened to some of those and different things, and I think you're fabulous. But today, you have expressed a little bit more emotion. Your voice has been more animated, up and down, not as monotone.
Uh-huh.
And if you and Ken, and see, Ken, Kimmy knows this, I'm sometimes bluntly honest. It can get me in trouble.
You just were a moment ago.
Okay. But with your voice today, I'm sitting here listening to both of you thinking, what a great compliment, to each other. Aww. To bring both the men's and the woman's perspective. And if you were to get an audience, a base that started to know you, just like you do a radio show DJ, mm-hmm. in the morning.
Sure, yeah.
Kind of get to know their lives a little bit.
Yeah.
I could see listeners really wanting to know you too, Ken. I could see Kimmy turning the tide and saying, okay, Betty, what about you?
She does that to me all the time, actually.
Yes, but on the air. We'll just call you Regis and Kelly. but truly, the bantering or the humor, I think, truly is a really good, and it's really what gets you through life. I have some serious illness going on with friends of mine at the moment, and I keep recognizing through all these deaths and serious illnesses just what a critical part humor can interject in. And we've all heard laughter is the best medicine,
mm-hmm.
but it really is. I mean, well, God's the best, but but laughter really is. And so I think the two of you together is a really good dynamic, and that's why I asked that question.
Yay.
Well, thank you, but my opinion now is that for somebody who only had a few minutes to talk, I think you should have your own program, Kelly.
No.
You did.
No. When you all replay this, you're going to hear my voice and go, oh, no. Not for her.
No, I'm not going to have that opinion at all.
No. You present yourself very well. You're very well spoken. You ask interesting questions. You have interesting things to say. So.
Yep. And a great laugh.
So we'll just...
Snowballed you all.
Oh, brother. What? You know what? You can't... She said she snowballed us all.
Oh, brother.
You can't snowball me, girl.
And I've...
So, Ken, here's the opposite to that. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to tell you my age because I know... I've got, if I have your word, this is not going to be broadcast or ever go anywhere.
You said you were the same age as Kim and Tony.
Yeah, okay. We're not going to speak that. Okay, so...
No, this...
Considering my age, please know that the very same characteristics and traits that you just said is what kept me in a career for 25 years where my heart was not at. I prefer being a loner. I think Kimmy understands that. And so it's kind of funny that you say that because I have a blast when I'm talking to everyone, but it's so hard before you do it. It is so difficult to build up to. And so I don't know how a radio show works. I have no idea. But I would hope that if you have guests who are not accustomed, to doing interviews like this, that you guys do a mock like you're kind of doing with me. I think it would be really helpful.
Just so you know, that's I've done a lot of interviews since I've been here, and that's to a person, that's usually what they say is they think they're going to come in and I'm going to open up the mic and say, here, talk for 30 minutes and I'll sit back and listen. But no, as I tell them, I say, we just have a conversation, that's all. And as they say something, it'll bring up a question in me and the conversation might go in a different direction. And you just said something interesting, Kelly. You said, I don't know how you do a radio program or an interview. And well, that's what you're doing right now.
That's what we're doing.
I'm having a chat with friends.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. That's good.
That's what I do all the time.
In my husband's words, Kelly, he's a seasoned professional. He knows what he's doing.
So his voice sounds radio-ish.
Yeah, you should hear his real voice.
Yeah. Anyway,
so you were going to tell me your real age.
At the same time, truly, Ken, I have enjoyed your facilitation, so I think that's great. And I think Kimmy could do the same for you if the tide was turned.
Oh, yeah.
I know Kim well enough. She could pay attention. And so I've been a little surprised during this
pay
call
attention.
That in the beginning I was so darn nervous, and then I made the statement, well, Ken, when you and I meet, we're probably both going to be, what did I say, bitterly disappointed?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, as soon as I said that, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, that's not what I meant at all. And, you know, and so I'm sitting here beating myself up internally thinking, oy, what a dork. You know, that was not the way to go. Of course, you guys responded very well. But I would assume if we did that on a pre-call, I could get all that little jitters out.
Yeah.
And then I've been very surprised with myself that I've been able to stay in touch with what is the purpose of this call.
Yeah.
What should I be paying attention to? Yet, I kind of lost myself.
That's good.
Bravo.
You've talked for 45 minutes, girl.
Holy cow. Okay, that means I got to work until 5.
Well, I got to blast out of here in 3 minutes because Sophie's sitting at the groomer waiting for me to pick her up.
She's got to get to the groomer. I have to go get radiated in Fresno. So
Well, I hope you don't glow.
Oh, he was glowing before he started radiation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Radiation or not, I still glow. I'm an atom, so I grew up being an atom bomb. That was one of my nicknames.
Oh, see, there's your opening. The Atom Family.
Okay, on that note...